It's certainly a blessing being with each and every one of you today on the Pastor Study. And we're going to continue in the study we've been doing on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. We're going to continue where we left off last time in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. I'd have you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 3, the Word of God has this to say, "Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" The reference here is to the white throne judgment of Revelations chapter 20. Verses 11 through 15, where Christians are standing on the Lord's side and assisting in the judgment of the world and the angels. In Revelation chapter 20, in verses 11 through 15, the Word of God says this, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they would judge every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So this reference in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, again, is referring to the great white throne judgment here in Revelations chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, where, as Christians, we're standing on the Lord's side, assisting in the judgment of the world and angels. In fact, Daniel chapter 7, verse 10, even says that we will minister unto him. Daniel chapter 7, verse 10, the Word of God says, "A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him in judgment. Before him, the judgment was set and the books were open." So here we are at this great white throne judgment, ministering to the Lord, as it says here in Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. Now, getting back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, Paul's reasoning is that since the Corinthian believers will one day judge angels, why can't they judge among themselves when necessary instead of fighting like babies? Amen. Sounds like a lot of local churches, does it not? All right, let's continue as we're looking at noteworthy verses in 1 Corinthians. And we're still in chapter 6. And look with me at verses 19 and 20. The Word of God has this to say. "What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, this is a good passage to keep in mind always, but especially when things aren't going so well. You see, I belong to God, and if you're born again, you belong to God. My body is his temple, and your body is his temple. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Word of God tells us, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So he personally invested in me, invested in you. So he cares about every problem and trial that you and I have. You and I serve him, not myself or yourself. Amen. See, and all glory and praise goes to him. So we serve him. We're not to serve ourselves. And all the glory and praise is to go to him, my dear listeners. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and look at verses 5 and 6 together. Notice what the Word of God says here. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things, and we by him. Now, what I want us to see is this. So it's wrong to say that God is worshipped under many names. We worship Jehovah, our Creator and Redeemer, and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And any other god, such as Baal, Allah, Mary, or Santa, is a false god, according to the Word of God here. See, all of these things are according to the Word of God, not something that I made up or someone else made up. This is what the actual words of God have to say. So if you have a problem with anything that's being said, then your problem was with God and God's words, not with me. Amen? Alrighty, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The Word of God said, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. This is a great verse indeed, is it not? That rock was obviously not Christ literally. So Paul is teaching typology without even saying it. The rock was a type of Christ, as are numerous other things in the Old Testament, even though it isn't usually pointed out. Those are nuggets for us to find, not prepared meals for us to eat. Amen. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 in verse number 13. Notice what the Word of God has to say here. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. What I want us to see here is that Satan sends temptations, but God always provides a way to escape. The verse also assures us that temptations we face are common to man. We often feel that other Christians don't face the kinds of temptations that we do, but this isn't true. With millions of Christians living in the world today, it is likely that your exact temptation is in common to thousands of other believers. God thinks no less of you than them. Besides, having a temptation isn't sin anyways. It's yielding It's yielding to the temptation that constitutes sin. Amen. Alrighty, as we're continuing our study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible, we continue our journey here in 1 Corinthians, and we want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse number 32. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. The Word of God says this: "Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." So what we have here is these are the three classes of people that are addressed in the Bible. Some scripture is aimed at Jews, some at Gentiles, some at the church. And failure to acknowledge this leads into much confusion. Amen. So remember that. Just a very simple point here. The three classes of people that are addressed in the Bible: the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church of God. Amen. If you have that basic truth, it'll clear up a lot of problems. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19 says this: "For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." This is a very instructive verse. Amen. True believers shine even brighter when contrast to the numerous heretics teaching false doctrine. Amen. Let's turn to verses 30 to 32 in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Word of God says this: "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Now, this passage explains why some Christians are weak, sick, even dead. God, being a good father, chastens his children when they are disobedient. In some cases, this can even lead to severe sickness or death. I want us to turn together to Hebrews chapter 12. And in Hebrews chapter 12, I want us to look together at verses 4 through 10. The Word of God has this to say: "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our own flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness." So we see, amen, the comparison is being made here in Hebrews is just as an earthly father corrects his child when he's disobedient, Amen. So doesn't the Lord chasten his children when they're disobedient. And in connection with our passage in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 30 to 32, this chastening explains why some are weak, sick, or even dead. You know, sometimes if you persist in a sin and God keeps trying to get your attention to repent and get right and you don't, he can take you home early. The other thing you want to see about chastisement is spoken here, is it shows that you belong, that you have a father. Amen. Because an earthly father wouldn't discipline or chasten someone else's child. Amen. But he chastens his own child, just like we belong to God. We're his children if we're born again, trusted his son Jesus Christ as our personal savior. So that means he's our father. He chastens us. He doesn't chasten those that don't belong to him. Amen. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3. The word of God says this. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, in that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, in their haste to prove that they have the Holy Ghost, the charismatics have latched on to the phrase Jesus is Lord. Now, had they slowed down and read every word, perhaps they would have taken note of the fact of the verses, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Omitting the definite article and simply saying Jesus is Lord is no better than what the unsaved world confesses one day, according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 11, which says, in that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Now, we're still here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want us to turn to verses 8 through 11. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 11. Amen. And we read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 11, we read this, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, what we want to say that here is, this is a good passage to keep in mind on spiritual gifts. Also note that tongues are not given any spiritual or any rather special importance over the other gifts. They are called diverse kinds of tongues, not unknown tongues. And this corresponds to the new tongues mentioned in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, and the other tongues of Acts chapter 2, verse 4. These are known in established languages and not senseless gibberish. Amen. Alrighty, let's continue on as we're looking at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. And we're in 1 Corinthians. Let's look in chapter 12 at verse number 13. It says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all and have been all made to drink into one spirit. No one drinks of literal water when baptized in water. So what we have here, this is a spiritual baptism that all believers receive upon being saved. They are baptized by and sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. Amen. Now, along with this, we also want to look at Galatians chapter 3 in verses 26 and 27. The Word of God says, "For ye are all the children of faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as has been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You're baptized in Christ by the Holy Spirit, not by the public water system. Amen? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that whole chapter deals with the first resurrection. And what I want to say about chapter 15 is that every believer should be familiar with it. It's a very important chapter, amen, in the Word of God. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with me, in verses 51 to 52, we read this, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible when we shall be changed." Amen to that. And of course, this is a good passage on the rapture to go along with what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13 to 18. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So here we have in two places it talks about the rapture. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're told that the words and the Word of God that describe the rapture should bring us comfort. If you need comfort today, read these verses. Read them frequently. This is your future and my future as believers, the rapture, the next prophetic event on God's calendar. Amen. And this is what we have to look forward to as believers, do we not? And praise God for that. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 2. The Word of God says, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come." So, Christian worship is on the first day of the week, not the Sabbath, which is the seventh day of the week. Amen. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached on them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. The first day worship speaks of a new life in Christ, as opposed to a continuation of the Old Testament covenant. Amen. Now we're going to continue our study, and we're going to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians and look at some noteworthy verses in the book of 2 Corinthians. And the first one I'd like us to look at is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verses 3 and 4. And the Word of God says this: Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So what's important and noteworthy about this passage is this. This is one of the reasons for Christian suffering, that we might be better prepared to comfort others in their suffering. Amen. Because we've been in their shoes before. And we can comfort them and we can tell them how God got us through it. Amen. So if you're going through something, there's no accident with God. You may be going through it because there's going to become someone in your life that you'll be able to comfort because they're going through what you've gone through already. Amen. And you can relate to them your experience and how God comforted you. Amen. What a blessing that is. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17 says, For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity. But as of God in the sight of God speak we in Christ. Now, what I want you to see about this verse is this verse is altered in the New Bible perversions with the word corrupt being changed to peddle or something similar. Naturally, those guilty of corrupting the word of God do not wish to be exposed. And amen to that. Those new Bible versions are of the devil, my friend. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 says this. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now this is a great passage that calls us to focus on the unseen world than on this present world. It reminds us that our bodies are nothing more than earthly tabernacles that will be dissolved so we can move on up to our heavenly tabernacles. Amen. Well, we're just about run out of time today. I hope you join me next time as we continue our study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible.